each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. Is it TGIF yet?
Not yet, almost.
I forget what Christina
used
to say.
What would you say, TGAIF
or almost something?
Thank God it's almost Friday.
Yeah.
Anyway, how are you doing?
I'm all right.
You're okay, good.
All right.
That's good. And Nick is over there, and we're getting ready for the big cold.
Yeah.
Supposed to get really, really cold and more snow today, I think.
Well, they say that, but...
Who knows? Anyway, we
Whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
That's right. So I had to rush down, and I did not bring the prayers that I normally pray. Let's just start with a decade of the rosary.
Yeah, okay, I was thinking that too.
So, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O my Jesus, forgive us our sins. Save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those who are in most need of thy mercy. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us
who have recourse to thee. Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, welcome everybody. I just, one of our students, his grandfather just died, so it's been a little bit, I'm going to deal with that after the show, but... anyway, after the program, so that is life in the parish. You know, there's
just
always
the way it goes.
It's a very dynamic. It's an adventure. Ups and downs and peaks and valleys and good and the bad and the happy and the sad and the, you know, light and darkness. It's reality. So
stuff of life.
The stuff of life. I say there's nothing like a parish. A parish, mm-hmm. everything comes through these doors. People, I don't think, realize, unless, of course, your parish is a museum, you know.
Yeah.
Our doors are always open, so.
It is interesting. I really wonder sometimes if people really understand what really goes on in a parish. I mean, I keep thinking, maybe because I'm old and how it used to be.
You're not old.
Well, you know what I'm saying. I mean, how it used to be, even in the neighborhood. Like, I've been in this neighborhood for a long time.
Yeah.
I remember when it was, like you say, you knew what was going on in the next block. You know,
right.
Like everybody knew each other, everything. But as the years go on, people move, people come in, new people.
Right.
How many of us really know our neighbors? We don't sometimes.
Yes, it's so true, yeah.
And it used to be so tight-knit where, okay, you knew. I know, I'm sure in some places you make it a habit. I mean, Angelica's really good. She knows everybody. I don't. Everybody says hi to me.
It's Angelica's husband.
Right.
Yeah.
If not that. But so it's just that, you know, how often when you think about it, wow, okay, you have a center place and what goes on in here.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because it's, and yeah, everything has changed. But
yeah.
We had a funeral the other day. Was it not yesterday? The day, or was it yesterday?
Maybe.
So much goes on that you don't remember from one day to the next. I believe it was yesterday.
Right.
Or Tuesday. Anyway, whatever. Mm-hmm. No, it was Tuesday.
It was Tuesday.
It was Tuesday. We weren't on the radio. It was a Tuesday. And quite a few people. And so they, what people are doing a little bit more and more, at least we allow it here for sure, mm-hmm. is that they have their, the wake before the mass, so mm-hmm. they'll rather than have a wake in the funeral home, they bring the body to the church, mm-hmm. and in the back of the church we have a nice area where you can open the coffin,
right.
and people can you know, pay their respects and people kind of mingle and they talk to each other. And of course, you know, it's what's interesting is so I went back there to get the readers and, you know, prepare them for the mass. Mm. And then you begin to see all the people and you know, you haven't seen. Everybody's connected and everybody's got their history and their story from the neighborhood. And it's the one time when people really come together, you know. Mm. And they come together in a very interesting way because at a funeral, people are receptive. They're mm-hmm. they're searching. They're looking for answers. Now, I guess it depends on the approach because we've gotten away from somehow it kind of infiltrated into the church. You know, we're so affected by the society we live in, and we're such a society of you know, feelings. Everything mm-hmm. is, and you can't. In fact, I was writing about this. I might even have it here, but. The facade that everybody is supposed to be happy and life is supposed to be easy,
mm-hmm.
and if you say, you know, how are you doing, everybody goes, well, fine, doing good, you know,
right.
and you know
put a happy front on,
put a happy front on, and the reality is people are struggling, they're going through all kinds of things. But when it's what's become very, very popular in certainly in the secular world, but it's crept into the religious world as well, is that the funeral is the celebration of that person's life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, in a sense, that may ease the pain, but and it kind of crept into the church as well. Some years ago, and I don't think, I don't know if many people have picked up on this, because yeah, you wanna make people feel good in a time of grief and sadness and all that, but you gotta allow people to grieve. You gotta allow, and the nice thing about the faith is that the grief isn't, you know, when Jesus says or St. Paul says the sting is taken out of death. It's true, you know. Death is a difficult reality. It's a hard reality, but we all know we're going to die, and at some point in our life journey, we have to come. Face that reality, the reality of our mortality. But the faith speaks to us of immortality, that, you know, the old order is passing away, we will pass away, but, you know, that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it so much as dawned on man what God has prepared for those who love him. The best is yet to come, and we're born to die. You know, we're here for a short time. We're destined for God, for God's kingdom, and we're supposed to give witness to that reality in the here and now, in the midst of the struggles of life. And so what we say is that, no, the death is a sacred farewell. It's a saying goodbye in a most sacred way. And there's nothing like the Catholic Mass to express that, you know, the prayers of the Mass and the reading from sacred scripture and all that. And it's the beauty of our churches. If we have beautiful churches, I think this is something that we're looking to beautify. I think there's a very strong movement to re-beautify our churches, which were by tradition very beautiful, but for the sake of simplicity or poverty or whatever, it was, so many of the churches were, I always say, mutilated or deconstructed, just as much as there's this movement to deconstruct history, revisionist history, to rewrite history. But the point is, I guess the point I'm trying to make is that it's a sacred farewell until we meet again. But the call, you know, through the prayers, is that, you know, we will meet again. But we have to, you know, we have to remain in God's grace. We have to keep the faith. And there's a beautiful consolation in that reality. And that is that, you know, but I say that if a person lives a bad life, an evil life, of course, we're not going to judge we can judge the behavior of an individual, but we can't say, you know, whether this person is has condemned himself or herself, you know, having rejected God. We don't know what goes on in the soul. We don't know what happens in the deep recesses of the soul prior to the death. You know, we had the other day. We had, in fact, yes, of course, the funeral was on this other funeral. This one's coming in now, but. Or the grandfather and the father just died, so it's you know, we're just now dealing with it. But the funeral we had on Tuesday rather, it was the Feast of the Presentation, and it was very appropriate, really, when you think of and again, I say people are receptive because it's okay. This is a reality that we can't change. And this is a reality. Whenever we have to go to a funeral or we deal with the death of a loved one, it reminds us that we too will go this way, you know. And God didn't spare himself. And that's why he's taken the sting out of death, because he defeats death and he rises from the dead. And he promises that, he says, I go to my Father and your Father there to prepare a place for you, and I will come and I will take you with me. You're not condemned to be here forever in this valley of tears, in this place of suffering. And yet life is good. You know, I don't want to overplay the evil and the struggles, but they're real. They're real. And they're becoming more and more real. But the fact is that, that we're not condemned to be in this battle, in this valley of tears, in the sufferings of life forever. And as we all know, you said you're getting old and you're yet young, but the body does naturally deteriorate. No matter what you do, the body does deteriorate. And as I say often, so often to the people, in 100 years, the whole planet will be populated with different people.
Yeah.
But it's but the miracle, the beauty of life is that we do survive if we keep faith, if we just have the humility to remain in faith. As we were, I think we were talking about this the other day when we were on the radio, that we throw ourselves into the mystery, and just be free. Don't try to overthink this or try to figure it out. It's not.
But it's funny. That's what people do. You know, it's even people that, you know, and I have a friend, and it comes to my mind. He doesn't believe in anything. I think he does really, but he likes to be that person that's, well, you got to explain it. I have to see it. I have to understand it. And that's not. And I guess if you spend your life doing that,
right,
you then realize life goes by and you don't really have an. It has to be a faith. It has to be a I understand. Or if at this moment I don't understand, Lord, make me see.
Right.
You know. So I.
Yeah. At the heart of that mystery, I think is, which when you think about it, you put it in perspective. It doesn't. God can do whatever He wants. Yeah. You know. We come from somewhere. I mean, all you have to do is. I think it's. Not that you even overthink it, but that you just, but you do think. Mm-hmm. We're thinking people, we're reasoning people, and the fact that we even suffer, the fact that we suffer the loss of many things in the course of a life journey, should tell us that it should point us to eternity, to infinity, to immortality, because loss is part of life. And we all know that even apart from our bodies, you know, we have to do what we can to take care of our bodies, try to keep ourselves as healthy as possible because, you know, life is a precious gift, but it's rather fragile as well. Mm-hmm. And certain things we just don't have control over. But even, your homes, you have to take care of your homes. You have to, you know, everything is deteriorating. Mm-hmm. Everything has to be fixed. Everything has to be repaired. Everything has to be kept up to, you know what I'm saying? Everything. But I think being in the work of life, making the effort every day to get out of bed and to get into the work of life and to do what we'd rather not do, but we know we have to do it, because we've got to function, and right, we've got to, you know, present ourselves to each other. We've got everybody's got work to do. It's a holy adventure, but to be in the mystery, and it will. I guess to think about the beauty again, as the scripture said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it so much as dawned on man what God has prepared for those who love Him. And everything beautiful in this life is nothing compared to what God has prepared for us. And so when Jesus says, I go to my Father and to your Father, there to prepare a place for you, and I will come for you at the appropriate time, at the opportune time. And he says in his high priestly prayer, Father, I thank you for these you've given me as a gift, and I'm not asking you right now to take them out of the world, but protect them from the evil one. And in the immediate circle of people he had around him were the apostles, who all but John died a martyr's death. So they were, you know, you throw yourself into the mystery, in other words, faith in God, and so much so that you go to your death not denying God. Which is a powerful witness in and of itself, and the grace that is given, you know, for these martyrs to enter into that death. And I did bring up not too long ago about the 33, I think it was 33 Ethiopian martyrs, those who were Christians in, I believe it was in Libya. And this was during we were trying to think of the name of the... Yeah. Is it funny? I hear again. I don't remember, but the Islamic, mm-hmm. The terrorist. You know, there was a word for it. How quickly we forget. But they all they knelt side by side along the shore of the sea, and they were all put to death. And one Muslim went to death with them, in solidarity with their faith, that they would not deny Jesus Christ, even though it meant that they would suffer death. Because again, if you don't have anything to believe in beyond this life, then eat, drink, and be merry, right? And this is what we see in the society. We see this this trying to why? Well, it's demonic to try to bring us to deny or reject God in order to do whatever we so please. I will not serve. It goes back to the very beginning of sacred scripture. In fact, we're going to take a break all over the place, but you know it's all kind of related. Yeah. But the thing is that for the Christian and for a Catholic, and especially for a Catholic, because you know we can point to our churches, the tradition, our traditional churches certainly. That where you've got the images of the saints and you've got the, you know, everything is, why is that? It's to remind us that there are more people on the other side waiting for us than those who are going to be left behind. That it's, in death, it's just not me and God and God and me, but it's, although God's love is sufficient in and of itself and most satisfying, and which brings the peace a world cannot bring, but that we are a communion of people, and that's why you know this whole what feels like social engineering under the guise of the pandemic is causing people to go nuts, to go crazy, even to the point of committing suicide. We know young people. This is not an exaggeration. I don't have the statistics before me, but I hear these statistics, and especially among the young people, because they're not meant to be isolated. They're not meant to be. I was telling we had a school board meeting last night, and the difference now when you go into the school. By the way, there was a great segment on Catholic schools. You know the success and the schools because we've been open. Since the beginning, yeah, some of our children can opt for e-learning, but most of the students are in the school, and teachers, they're under a lot of stress because they're doing simultaneously right. In-person learning and e-learning. When I was in the school the other day, I'll be there this afternoon, the kids, and they all wear masks. They're so happy to be back in school, but what I missed was, especially with the munchkins, is that you go in and they you know you walk in and everybody comes and they're hugging you and
right.
You know they're so happy to see you and right. Everybody wants to tell you a little bit about themselves, what's going on in their homes or whatever. You know, we might, by the way, we might have students on the radio tomorrow.
Yeah, that's good.
So but this what feels like I call it social engineering. Mm-hmm. Is psychologically damaging to our people, and you know as well as I know, and all we all know that, and maybe some people like it. You know, sometimes you want to go to the store and you just want to go and get what you want and get out. But everybody is, of course, everybody is in a yeah. mask, and you have to. The clerks are behind the
glass, plexiglass,
plexiglass, and you know, there's you have to. Stand in your little place.
Designated area.
Designated area. You know, I made the mistake, you know, of this is some months ago, but I was putting, so the people were checking out in front right. of me. It was a couple, older couple, middle-aged, probably younger than me. I guess I'm not middle-aged anymore, but they, so they were putting everything was being put in the bag, right, right for them. And so, you know, the conveyor belt that you put your groceries right. on, you start putting it on. Right.
You
know,
you like, don't you put know, the little, yeah, the little brake, whatever, the little stick.
Yeah, yeah, you have, there would be that little right. that thing, you know, that brake
barrier.
But they were already
right.
Putting their, you know, they were done. They were
right.
just paying their bill and everything was being bagged. And I started putting my stuff on the thing and right. and the woman said, stop it, stop it, you know.
That's not sanitized. You know, And I'm so sorry. I felt really bad. And so I took my stuff off.
Right.
Felt like I had, they were going to call the police.
Thought
police. And
everything,
right. But it was, she was really just freaked out.
Wow.
She said, stop it. And just yelled at me, don't do that.
So what did they have to do? They sterilized what?
Well, so what they do is, they wanted to be gone. They didn't, mm-hmm. they thought maybe I was too close to them too, and I was more than 6 feet away, I think. I didn't measure it, but
yeah.
The point is I had forgotten. I just forgot. At least, thank God, I had a mask on.
Right.
And I don't fault them because people freak out. Their people are, fear is what's happening. And so afterwards, after they left, I apologized to
right.
them. I said, I'm so sorry.
That's not enough.
And they didn't look at me or say anything after
right.
that. But when they left, I started putting my stuff on the conveyor belt, mm-hmm. and I told the clerk, I said, "Yeah, I'm so sorry. I didn't even think." Mm-hmm. And he says, "You know what?" He says, "We do it for the people." And then after they were bagging my stuff, people came behind me, and they were already putting their stuff on the conveyor belt.
I guess that was all right.
It was all right, yeah. But I mean, that's, how we go off into that, but it's just how dehumanizing
and that's
life
what
has
it
become.
Is. I hate to say it. I have become a little bit more understanding, although it is just, it makes no sense. And I'm just going to say it like that because I don't even want to go into it.
No, because people are, again, hypersensitive.
But yeah.
As I said at the computers, I'm preparing for this or whatever, and you get all these little messages come right. in, and I swear, they're constantly contradicting themselves.
Right. The
vaccine works, the vaccine's not going to work. There's another mutant, the virus, it may
right.
not work.
And I think that's what it is with people. People, are you that gullible to be led this way? It's almost that,
It's fear. It's the fear.
I realize that. And that's what, I kind of understand the fear. But I'm thinking, it's like, here, jump this stick. Oh, no, now jump this stick. Now don't jump this stick. I mean, it's, when do we stop and say, hey, something's not right here?
Well, I think there's going to come a point when individually,
mm-hmm.
we realize that, and collectively we're going to realize that.
Yeah.
But I guess, and then we'll take a break here, but to go back to how this relates to death and the sacred farewell until we meet again,
right.
is that, we're all going to die. Now, nobody wants to be the cause of anyone's death. I shouldn't say nobody, because you read, again, all the horrific killings that take place,
yeah.
which is really just mind-boggling, especially in the last few days. I've just been reading, just here we know in Chicago it's
yeah.
always, but now it's, the carjackings, for instance,
yeah.
that is unbelievable. So the fact that people do evil to people, or people have no regard for other people's property, at least, wearing mm-hmm. the mask, we're showing that we do, whatever anybody believes, we have a concern for each other. I don't want to be the cause mm-hmm. of your getting sick, or I don't want to,
What you need to think about it is
fear.
A fear itself. I got to admit, I don't think I'm so much in fear of getting it, but I'm in fear of giving it to somebody
else.
Well,
that's exactly right. That's why I think that's the greater fear many of us have is,
right.
I don't want, I'm wearing this. And often people, when they come to see me, mm-hmm. and, we're in the office and we're 6 feet apart and they wear the mask, I tell them, because we're talking,
right.
you don't have to wear them. And they said, thank you. I'm doing it for you. And I said, and if you want me to wear the mask, I'll wear the mask as well. Mm-hmm. Now, in these Zoom, and I'll tell you the other thing, that's the other thing I have to, because we had a school board meeting, mm-hmm. and I had another meeting this past weekend. People are really tired of the Zoom stuff.
Yeah.
They said, we want in-person meetings.
Exactly.
And so that's what I'm saying. There's a point of, there's a breaking point
mm-hmm.
where people, want their freedoms back. And, it's all kind of related, because the fact is that life is not easy. It never was meant to be easy. We're living in a rather when you think of the whole of history, a rather comfortable time.
Yeah.
But I tell you, after I take the break, I have to share with you this conversation I had with a woman yesterday, and it was just kind of, it was fascinating, to be honest. And then I got to tell you also about this billboard over here in Milwaukee. Thanks to George, I got the gist on it, and just right over here. And it's Jasmine, the secretary, had a picture of it, so really quite interesting. Anyway, we will take a break, Nick. Okay, midway into the show, and we'll be back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supporter Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's good news about a great school with in-person instruction for your child. Father Anthony is asking you to send your children to St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy for in-person instruction. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy offers excellence by educating the mind, heart, and spirit of your child with faith, virtue, and honor. Cost should not be an obstacle to enrolling your child at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. We have scholarships and financial aid available to fit all budgets. Anyone who wants to give their child a Catholic education can do so at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is an elementary school offering grades pre-kindergarten through 8th grade and is located minutes from downtown Chicago, one block north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy. Call the school office at 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or visit ststanschicago.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. Not censored and unafraid, proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ.
The winds of change.
The winds of change.
On AM 750, WNDZ.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, two blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So a couple of things here, and maybe it's all related. We'll see if you can make connections and all this. But it all goes back to reality, mm-hmm. and that is that we're here for unborrowed time. You know, we have to make good use of our time, yet we know we don't. But this is where, you know, as I always think, Scripture says, the just man sins seven times a day. There's often sins of omission, things we could do that we don't do. We could be more charitable. We could be more prayerful. We could be more, we could do a lot, you know, all of us. And so I think it takes a certain amount of humility to admit that, yeah, I am truly a sinner, and I truly am in need of repentance, and I truly need to, you know, nurture and cultivate my relationship with God, because we're made for God. From God we come, to God we go, and we have to choose to live in God. And the Lord is our strength and our peace, our solace, And he didn't deceive us to say, you know, that it's going to be, you don't, in other words, he never said, you know, you're going to have to put on a facade, you know, the beauty of our faith is that we can be who we are in God's grace and not be surprised by the sufferings and the sorrows and the and yet appreciate in gratitude the beautiful things we see, the beautiful things that happen, the beauty of life. You know, I've said it many times. There's nothing really more beautiful than somebody who is sincerely living their faith, who have faith in God, and truly nurture that faith on a day-to-day basis. There's nothing more beautiful. You're not going to find the even though we know we all have our dark side, we've got our rough edges, and we can get angry, and you know. But there's a sensitivity, right, to sin and to wanting to do what is right and good, to be courteous, to be kind, and to be honest and truthful, not to be a floor mat where everybody mm-hmm. can just walk all over us. But we're not going to be, you know, vicious, and we're not out to destroy anybody or anything, you know. So, but the world seemingly more and more is opting for that. This is this great diabolical disorientation. So I want to share two things. One is because as I mentioned, I've mentioned many times about this concerted effort to deconstruct history or create this revisionist history, which is really about it's about Christianity has to be dispensed with. We've got to expel or cancel out, I guess this is the word, cancel out the Christianity, even though maybe they're not going to be, people aren't going to be overly overt, although they're becoming overly overt about the agenda. But there's a billboard that is just right over here, just around the corner on Milwaukee between Division and Ashland. We're right off Division Street. Well, Milwaukee, Ashland, Division, that's mm-hmm. the blue line is there. So just it's just a couple of blocks away. It's for PBS WTTV, WTTW show called American Portrait. Now think of that, American Portrait. And in this is a huge, as George sent this note to me, it's a gigantic advertisement, bigger than two billboards. And it's what's depicted on it in giant letters. It says, "Relearning everything we have been taught."
Wow.
And it has a serpent with an apple in its mouth, a happy boy, young boy, or young man, biting on an apple. It also has a happy girl, young woman, with a cherry, which perhaps indicates a sexual activity. The happy girl is watering the headline, "Relearning everything we have been taught." And out of this headline grows the apple and cherry trees, and the giant serpent is in the trees.
Wow.
Isn't that something? Relearning everything we have been taught. And
wow.
This is a part of this deconstructing, revisionist, cancel culture we're living in.
No, Father, this is not happening. This is not happening. You're making a big thing out of this.
Gaslighting.
This is anything that's...
How would you define, speaking of George, he told me, he gives me constructive criticism, mm-hmm. you know, with the homilies. He gives me a pat on the back often, and
right.
and he'll also tell me, you know, Father, you should have done this, you should, you know, I couldn't follow you, but how would you, and I've thought about it, but I haven't, how would you give me an example of gaslighting?
Yeah, see, I gotta admit, I hear the word, but I'm not really sure what is that, like, what gaslighting?
So it's to cancel out memory and to create
a new memory.
It's a psychological manipulation, mm-hmm. and it puts your sanity to the test. You'll find that defined.
Mm-hmm.
But an example, and I have to be honest, I haven't seen there was a movie called Gaslighting,
mm-hmm.
and that's where it came from, where I believe the wife was her husband. I don't know if it was her husband or I didn't see the movie, like I said, but I've heard about it, and something to the effect that he was doing things purposely. To manipulate her psychologically and make her believe she was going insane.
Now, I've done this. I've gone to Google. I don't know mm-hmm. if this is true or not, so I'm just going to state it.
All right.
The definition, gaslighting is the form of psychological abuse when a person or group makes someone question their sanity, perception of reality, or memories. People experiencing gaslighting often feel confused, anxious, and unable to trust themselves.
Okay, so now is that not what's happening in our culture today?
Yeah, I think you can't really say it better than that.
You know, because people are, especially mm-hmm. like with the COVID stuff or with the vaccine. You know,
right?
Many people have been asking me, should I take the vaccine? I says mm-hmm. I can't. I don't know because I read this, I read that. I can't make a decision.
When you talk about the vaccine, and I'm glad you said it that way because I'm having issues too with that. And not because I mistrust everybody, which I do, that's not really the main thing. But for me, I don't even take a flu shot. I just don't like, I've always been afraid of this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they say, whoever they are, you know, the things I've read, okay, there is a chance. There's always a chance that something like that will kill you. I mean, it's a very slim chance. I don't want to frighten anybody, but there's always that chance. So, I mean, you have to sit and think, well, is the bigger chance dying now or dying later when this happens?
Well, see, the thing is, it goes back to the science, right?
Yeah.
And it all depends on who you're listening to. So that even talking about this, or maybe people out there getting angry because they're saying that everybody should take the vaccine mm-hmm. because if not, we're never going to get a grip on this.
Yes.
And so I don't want to confuse anybody. But I'm just saying that you've got, just like with climate change,
mm-hmm.
you've got this group of scientists that will absolutely convince you that this is all mm-hmm. man-made, that this is what we're doing. Then there's another group of scientists that say, no, this is not the case. Wearing the mask.
Right.
I was listening the other day, and in fact, even when they started, when this pandemic started, you know, that we were told not to wear the mask.
Smart people always tell me this when I have this conversation. And now it's a matter of, okay, well, wow. And I just heard this just recently. So I'm just going to say, think of gaslighting in your mind. I just gave the definition. I actually heard this. Well, if wearing one mask works, it only makes sense to put two of them on.
Or even three.
Three. And I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, your mind does tell you at this point, well, if one is told to work and it's not working, why would I add another and another?
Well, so the other day I heard that actually wearing two is more dangerous than wearing one. So,
exactly.
So that's where you just...
So confusion sets in.
Completely.
And we decide, okay, tell us what we need to do because we've lost all sanity and thought for ourselves.
You know, and this is on we're just all over the place here, but...
That's interesting.
But the Holy Father was speaking to a journalist in Rome yesterday or the day before. I caught the video yesterday.
And that's a good placement of time.
Right. But he was saying to the journalist that, you know, these were American journalists. And he said, you know, the church is very active and very strong in the United States, when in fact it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's suffering just like everywhere else. But he says it's very strong. It's very active, and he says, of course, you have your traditionalists, but they can be healed. So I thought, what? So what sickness do we have? I consider myself a traditional Catholic.
Heal me because I'm a traditionalist.
You know, it's like these things are, you sit there and you scratch your head and wonder, well, what is, is that gaslighting? I don't know. But the point is, it is a cycle. There's this, you can use all kinds of ways to create psychological confusion, manipulate your psyche.
But here's like a valuable insight, and I say this. Think about what people want to do to a people to make them not as strong as they are, to weed them out, give them confusion.
Well, so you take the election and the inauguration, and of course the sad infiltration of people into the people's house.
Right.
When you've got 500,000 people, and you've got a couple of hundred people that went into the Capitol, and then all of a sudden all of these other people. 500,000 people are being demonized. Not only 500,000 people, but the 70 million people. That,
shame on you, Father. You know, what you're doing is you're looking with your God-given eyes and ears and your intellect. That's not, you know, when I can turn that, what you saw with your eyes and ears and intellect, and say, oh no, that wasn't the case. I can say this. I can say that. I can change that picture in any way. Just made many people confused,
and it could be either. It's just all this stuff that's going on, and then the other final thing is science, you know. And I think I might have mentioned this last week, but I certainly spoke about it in the homily. The church has always been accused of being unscientific, and yet the church is very scientific, and even our theology, our ecclesiology is all. It's science within the realm of mystery, this beautiful, wonderful mystery that we don't have all the answers, and we throw ourselves in that mystery and we're free. But we don't negate reasoning, our mind, the intellect. And so we've been always into the sciences. In fact, some priests were great scientists that made some great inventions. I can't think of them right offhand. But we've always, even to this day, you know, people say, well, church is not scientific. Well, you tell me who's not scientific. Yep. When, and now there's this, if a man believes he's a woman, he can now play, you know, he can compete with women in women's sports. You know, is that scientific? I mean, all this stuff is unscientific. So much of what's going on in the society, deconstructing this revisionist history is so unscientific. Mm-hmm. Unscientific. It's not looking at a reality or distorting or perverting the reality. We know, if you just speak of the history of the United States, we know we've got rough edges. You look at the history of the church, there's been issues in the church, but as I say so often, and people please remember this, you know, Jesus, well, I've been repeating this, you know, that the Pharisees and the scribes, the church leaders in the time of Christ, together with the Roman officials, together with one of the apostles, collaborated in order to bring Jesus to trial and crucifixion. Nothing has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with social media, with this technology we have, you know, it's really talk about feeding this propensity to cancel out whatever we choose to cancel out, whoever they are, choose to cancel out.
That's the important thing. Now, I want you to think about this and think about the confusion, gaslighting. Think about that definition. It used to be when anybody wanted to know something, they would ask why. I mean, that's the best thing to do, why. Now, if you ask why, you're labeled something. Well, was there election fraud? If there was, why?
Nobody wants it. They want to change that.
Sure. If you get into the whole identity politics.
Exactly.
It's, you know, doing.
Where it used to be the science, you ask why.
Convincing you. I'm going to convince you.
Exactly.
That you're a white, that you enjoy mm-hmm. white privilege, you're a white supremacist.
Just because
you're racist,
I asked why.
Or you're homophobic, or you're xenophobic, or whatever it might be. We're going to
exactly.
convince you. Mm-hmm. You know, and for you to admit otherwise is part of the problem, you know.
Exactly.
So we got to take a final break here. But yeah.
I just feel like we're digging a hole. We'll just keep, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like you're going nowhere.
Well,
but it's common questions. Why you ask this?
Sure.
This is what people some people are asking.
Oh, that's crazy. Where's common sense gone? When we come back, things fall apart. The center cannot hold, but Jesus Christ will come again in glory. Thanks be to God. And again, this billboard over here, relearning everything we have been taught. That's exactly what's happening. We're going to cancel out, and we're going to reconstruct and
start all over.
Yeah. Anyway, and it's in the absence of God.
Exactly.
All right, everybody, we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's good news about a great school with in-person instruction for your child. Father Anthony is asking you to send your children to St. Stanislaus Koska Academy for in-person instruction. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy offers excellence by educating the mind, heart, and spirit of your child with faith, virtue, and honor. Cost should not be an obstacle to enrolling your child at St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. We have scholarships and financial aid available to fit all budgets. Anyone who wants to give their child a Catholic education can do so at St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is an elementary school offering grades pre-kindergarten through 8th grade and is located minutes from downtown Chicago, one block north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy. Call the school office at 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or visit ststandschicago.org. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. Not censored and unafraid, proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ.
The winds of change.
The winds of change.
On AM 750, WNDZ.
The floors as low.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You've got your radio turned on to Winds of Change, where you can hear about your faith and hear about today's culture through the lens of Christ's teachings with Father Anthony Bush and others. Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. Keep Winds of Change on by going to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And Winds of Change offers thanks for your donation.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we wrap up today. So this is and it really it brings us full circle because it goes back to what we were talking about, you know, the reality of death and the difference between one who has faith and one who doesn't believe in any, you know, the hereafter or, you know, and which is, it's almost as if I keep saying it's a badge of honor that people use it as a badge of honor that I don't believe. I always go back to the student who said to me, Father, he says, you're gonna be shocked when I tell you this. I says,
no, okay. I'm not gonna be shocked.
I said, okay, what? What are you gonna tell me? I said, what? And he says, you know, I don't believe in any of this stuff. I don't believe in God and all that. I says, okay. So what do you believe in? He says, I believe in man. I said, well, what does man do to man? And he said, oh yeah, you got to think about that.
Oh yeah. I think I better go back.
It was really kind of a nice exchange, but he thought he was really going to shock me, you know.
Yeah.
But speaking of those who don't have faith, this is I was going to get in a little bit more deeper into this article today, but we kind of got off track. But I think it was a good conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But today, this is going back almost 100 years. This Irish poet, William Butler Yeats, wrote a poem called The Second Coming. And this is a strange, nightmarish poem telling of the events, both seen and unseen, of an ominous elemental horror that is imminent and one that slouches from its centuries-old hibernation toward Bethlehem to be born. I'm not quite sure what that means, Bethlehem to be born, but some reference to Christ, I suppose. But he was a non-believer. He was actually, as I was reading the article, he was really he was a Protestant who rejected Christianity. He was into all kind of the occult and all this kind of stuff. But the events of the last months, whether in London, whether in Rome, whether in Washington, D.C., appear to be prefigured by this poem. Actually, this article is taken from the National Catholic Register. And so here's the poem. I don't know if there's, I'm going to have to look it up and see if there's more to it than this. But so just here's what he writes. This is 100 years ago. Things fall apart. The center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood, dimmed tide, is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. That's the poem. Now, there could be more to it than that, but the point is that he... For him, it all ends in darkness. There's no perceived return of a Messiah. He had, of course, been through the First World War, the Spanish pandemic. When you think about it, all those things that happened at that time, and I just look and I see we're just about out of time, so let me wrap this up. The point is this, that the church was present 2,000 years ago when the Roman amphitheaters were welcoming the first Christian martyrs to their deaths, and it is still here today. Of no other institution can that be said. And he goes, as the article goes through, just all the things that have come and gone, but the church endures. Even if she gets very, very small, it's, you know, the seed, the leaven, the salt, the light remains. And so we've got our work cut out for us it goes back to what I said, you know, cleaving to Jesus. We've got to cleave to the Lord because we come from God, we go to God, but we have to choose to live in God. We throw ourselves into the mystery and be free. And that doesn't cancel out right reason. It enhances our ability to reason in a right way. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. We will be back tomorrow. Tomorrow, maybe with students, I'm hoping. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see? The inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. To say when right from wrong has become so obscure, it does not take